However, at this point, I was no longer in my right mind. I left early the next morning, following my GPS south. I was a hunter fixed on my prey. I was going to New Mexico, no matter what. Night Rider Up to Truckee, an original story from Appaloosa Radio. Chapter 5. My place is at the end of the road.
Through the mountain, where the rivers flow, we gather on. Let the spirits guide us.
In the morning in my hotel room, I looked through the local phone directory to see what else Mescalero had to offer. I also wanted to cross-check the phone number that Stan had given me. In the slim phone book, I found two listings under Anderson Robert. The first was just a phone number and a post office box number. The second was for Anderson Robert, Apache Cattle Buyers Association. The two numbers were different, and both were different from what Stan had given me. Since it was after 8 in the morning, I decided to call the cattle buyer's number. I used my most professional voice. "Hello? I would like to speak to Mr. Robert Anderson." "This is Bob. How can I help?" "I'm looking for the Bob Anderson, who used to be a music performer, known as Crooked Leg." "Bob Anderson. Is that you?" There was a long pause. "It may have been a long time ago. Why do you want to know?" "I have some information about David Wayne Kirkby." I could hear him breathing 2, 3, 4, 5 breaths. Then, after the pause, "Well, mister, I guess you should come up to the ranch and we can talk." He gave me detailed directions, ending with, "It is hard to miss. It is the only place out there, at the end of the road." When Crooked Leg Anderson said that his place was at the end of the road, he was not kidding. I first drove up a narrow canyon, past the pinyon pines, the silver sagebrush, and the ever-present pointed rocks. Then I turned onto another road, then another, and then another. All the while, I was climbing. The air was growing colder and thinner. There were no longer any barbed wire fence posts, no houses, no barns, just vastness, interspaced among mountain canyons. The last stretch was not really a road. It was a dry stream bed with deep ruts to mark the way. Finally, in a stand of very tall Jeffrey's pines, I came to a small rustic cabin. I looked around for signs of electricity, but could not see any. So, this is where the legend of Woodstock, the old rocker and the former country music legend, has ended up. I spoke to myself, since there was no one else. I parked my car in an open patch and saw that an older Chevy truck was next to the cabin. I assumed that someone was home. It was late afternoon in the grove of Jeffrey's pine trees, and the shadows were growing long. If I had wandered into the wrong place, then it would be a long, dark ride over some non-existent roads to get back. But my worries subsided almost immediately when the cabin's main door opened, and out came a white-bearded man in a well-worn brown cowboy hat. My first thought, I must admit, was that Crooked Leg Anderson looked like a department store Santa Claus. His beard was white, uncut, and untrimmed for many months. It flowed out from both his cheeks and his chin. He wore half-rimmed glasses just like the magazine pictures showed, and his wide cowboy belt split his midriff just like a department store Santa does. I almost expected him to say, "Ho, ho." However, the image of Santa Claus disappeared with a second look. He wore knee-high cowboy boots with the legs of his jeans tucked into them. His belt buckle had a huge white buffalo turquoise stone inserted into it. His shirt was a nondescript pattern of brown checks, more Midwestern farmer than cowboy. And as I said, on his head was a wide-brimmed and well-worn brown cowboy hat. He was, by all appearances, an ordinary working cowboy. Not a sequins and fringe pretend a stage performer, but no, rather, one whose life is spent herding and tending cattle. Crooked Leg Anderson had once been a headline performer, whose concerts drew in thousands of fans. I expected to see some of that dazzle still in him. However, I did not find it. He was authentically what he appeared to be. He walked over to me and extended his hand in welcome. "You said that you want to talk about Davy. Come on inside, it's warmer."
Oh, hey, yeah.